Paralegal 114, this is the guide for week number three. And week number three, we take a look at marriage. We'll start off with a little historical review of marriage. Marriage was based on property. I think you are probably aware, ladies, you weren't viewed the same as the guys. You really were property. It's what it was. And over the course of history, we had common law traditions, a common law origin of marriage that moved to a civil law tradition, in the most simplified sense, because it made sense and you weren't considered property, and we evolved. So we'll just leave it at that. And then it's really evolved, in a lot of ways. So who can be married and all of that. But obviously the modern trend is towards legal equality in marriage between, men and women, between men and men, women and women. It's in a whole different place. But that common law and the property aspects still sort of fall in to things that we're going to deal with as we move through the course, especially as it relates to property. So we have civil law and community property states, and then some hybrids. And we'll break that down, but those are terms you're going to hear: civil law, community property, or the hybrid. And that's going to relate to when we get to the divorce stage. And again, we have to understand what a marriage is before we can understand how to dissolve that marriage. Some common marriage restrictions that we may see: criminal incest laws. You can't marry, essentially, your relatives in close proximity. And we'll break down the statute a little bit, and you're going to take a look at the statute, but see that. You can't be married to more than one person in Illinois. Why would you want to be? I don't get it, but you can't. So that's good. And there's age restrictions and capacity expectations again, and you're going to break down the statute. And then this, in some states still, or some jurisdictions, same-sex couples, right? It's not. And one of the things that you should be keenly aware of is what our perceptions are in this country, and you may get a sense of that as you meet people from other countries, is not how things happen in other countries as far as marriage goes. But, and that's something to keep in mind, because if you end up working in family law, you may run into marriages that weren't formed in Illinois, let alone this country. So it's something you may run across. A common law marriage, it typically required three elements: a mutual agreement to become husband and wife, cohabitation, and then the reputation in the community as husband and wife. In other words, anyone or as spouses, anybody who looked at those people would have thought that they were married, essentially. Illinois hasn't recognized common law marriages since 1905, I believe. So you're not going to run into any Illinois created common law marriages, and most states have done away with the restricted common law marriages to a large degree. With good reason. When we looked at the marriage rates and divorce rates, right, in Peoria and Tazewell County, and 50% of first and second marriages in Tazewell County are ended up in divorce, we want to make sure people are a little bit more serious about it. Once we took this to a civil ceremony or civil procedure type process, started requiring a license, then there was an application for the license, and sometimes there were blood tests and things that required over the course of history. When I was married, the first time I was married in the state of Illinois, you had to get a blood test before you could get your marriage license. Typically, there's a waiting period, kind of a cooling off period. Do you really want to do this? There may be a ceremony or expectation that the marriage be solemnized or performed by someone who is authorized by the statute to do that. And that used to be like a judge or a licensed pastor. Now you don't need someone to have a ceremony. You can just decide between the two of you that that's what you want to do. But we still do require that you record the marriage license. And we talked about the IDPH and their role and, you know, how that document eventually ends up on a form to the IDPH. So you have some experience there as well. Illinois law, marriage between two persons. Okay, that's what it requires. The director of public health prescribes the application and that whole process, and it prescribes what information has to be collected. And that's contained on the slide and in the statute, and you're going to read that, and I'm not going to read it to you, but you can see the type of information and why they ask for that information. You do have to go to the county clerk. You do have to sign. You do have to do some things. There is a fee. And then the county clerk will issue the license. And they do that on satisfactory proof of some things that are contained in the statute. There's really, I guess, take a look at the statute, but there's two public policy concerns: sexually transmitted diseases and illnesses, or a responsibility to support children that, you know, is going to be the only focus. But otherwise, there's not a lot of restrictions on the marriage, or a lot of things that they inquire about, I guess. There is an effective date, and it's, you know, the license is effective in the county where it was issued one day after the date of the issuance, unless the court orders that the license is effective when issued. And it expires 60 days thereafter. So, you know, it's not something you can go get and then hem and haw about for very long. So keep that in mind. The marriage was required to be solemnized. It may be solemnized now. Okay, I think it used to say shall. It used the word shall, which means must, and now it says it may be. So that's the ceremony part. Okay, if no individual acting alone solemnized the marriage, both parties to the marriage shall complete the marriage certificate form and forward it to the county clerk within 10 days after. You'll notice the solemnization provisions, the registration provisions. Pay attention to those. And when you break down the statute, the prohibited marriages. So in Illinois, a marriage entered into prior to dissolution of another marriage. Okay. You have to be divorced before you can get remarried. A marriage between an ancestor and a descendant. Okay, an ancestor and a descendant. So, you know, you can't marry your parents, your grandparents. You can't marry your aunts and uncles. You can't marry your first cousins unless, unless those the people are older than 50 and unable to bear children. Regarding children and prohibited marriages, and you'll see this provision come up in different parts of the statute, but there are no bastards in Illinois. There's no little bastards anymore. Children born or adopted of a prohibited or common law marriage are the lawful children of the parties. All kids are lawful parent or children of their parents. Then there wasn't a marriage when the kid was born. It doesn't make the kid illegitimate. We don't do that anymore. There's a validity provision in the statute, and all marriages contracted within this state prior to the effective date of this act or outside this state that were valid at the time of the contract or subsequently validated by the laws of the place in which they were contracted or by the domicile of the parties are valid in this state, except when it's contrary to the public policy of the state. So go back to what I just said, plus common law marriages. Okay. It is a misdemeanor to violate part two of the Marriage Act. So know that. And then finally, as we move forward and the second part of your assignment this week, we're going to move towards non-marital families and how the law looks at non-marital families. And the first do that, the best place to start is a case, is Illinois Supreme Court case called Hewitt versus Hewitt. And I need you to find that case and to brief that case on how Hewitt versus Hewitt applies or relates to non-marital relationships and what the court said in that case. And you may find it surprising what they said and how they treated that case. Ignore the information on the slide as far as the due date and time. Pay attention to what I asked you to do in the assignment for the post-class part of this. It's not something you need to do before coming to class on Tuesday, but you do need to remember this after, and it's going to tell me who listened to the guide or not. But that's where we're going this week. And it should be an interesting week. You should learn a few things. I appreciate your efforts so far in the first 3 weeks. And I look forward to seeing what you come up with.